to grow and then to move on. Because God doesn't want us to just get saved and stay right there. God has this amazing life for us that we need to grow into. You know, it's great that, you know, we can get saved. You know, it's a great experience, but so many people just stop right there thinking that that's everything to the Christian life. But there's so much more to it than just salvation. There's so many things that God wants to do in us and through us to affect the community around us, the world around us. You know, the Bible says in John 3:16 to go into all the world and preach the gospel. You know, that sounds like a very big task because the world is huge. But I think what we forget is that we need to go into our world and preach the gospel. You know, we might think of Africa or somewhere far off that we need to go. That, you know, these people over here need to hear the gospel. But there's people that you work with every single day that need to hear the gospel, that need to see the gospel lived out. And that's what that's all about. And, you know, I believe that that is our purpose in life, is to, you know, not just make a living, to raise a family, to retire, and to die. I don't believe that's the life that God made for us. But I believe that God made a life for us to where, you know, God affects us in a positive way. Then in turn, we go out and affect other people with what God has given to us. And that is what life is about. So many people see your job as a way to make money and pay bills. But I believe God has put you where you are, in your family, in your job, whatever you do in life, wherever you're at it every day. I believe God puts you there on purpose so that you can be a light to that part of the world. Because one person can't go and change the world. But if all of us are doing our part, we'll see the world begin to change. And that's the way God functions. That's the way God does things, is through the individual. And so boxes are a good thing. You know, they're a growth process. Our scripture that we've been using is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. How many Bibles do we got today? I think it's less every week. Or maybe you are just tired of lifting your Bibles and waving them at me. That might be it. But 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. I'll give you all another second to get there. 2 Corinthians 3:16. It says this, "But whenever someone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. For the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So all of us who have the veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is Spirit, makes us more and more like Him as we are changed into His glorious image." And it's my prayer for this series is that we can take a look inside our lives, and as we turn to God and ask God to show us our own lives, that He'll take the veil away, that we can see where we really are, to see where we actually are as Christians and in life, and show us how that we can improve our lives and grow and become more like Him. Like He says right here, it says, "Make us more and more like Him as we are changed into His glorious image." And so it's our prayer that the veil is taken away. The first box that we talked about was the crib. And we all know what goes in cribs. Little babies. And we love our little babies. They're amazing. They're wonderful. You know, we just gush all over them. Oh, they're so wonderful. And, you know, babies are wonderful. But it takes someone to take care of that baby, because that baby cannot do anything for itself. And it's up to the parents and the grandparents and the people around to help nurture that baby and to grow them up and to teach them how to begin to take care of themselves, to feed themselves. And as Christians, when we first get saved, we're like that little baby. We don't know what to do. We don't know how to take care of ourselves. And as Christians, we have to learn how to feed ourselves spiritually. We got to learn how to take care of ourselves. We got to learn how to go to God for ourselves instead of calling, you know, your friends or your pastor or somebody to pray for you. But we need to begin to learn how to have that own personal relationship with God, to where we go to God when we're in trouble, that we know how to go to the Bible and learn and read and begin to grow ourselves and take care of ourselves. The crib is a great place, but eventually we need to grow up and get out of the crib. The second one we talked about was the mystery box. The mystery box. And this is where we ask all of our questions. And, you know, it's great to ask questions. That's how we learn, is that we ask questions. We find someone who knows and we go ask them. And, you know, it's great to ask questions about God, because that shows that you're actually thinking about the things of God. You're processing them. You're trying to figure them out. And it's great to ask questions when you don't know. But eventually, we got to figure out how to find the answers to our questions on our own. We need to learn how to study the Word of God. We need to learn how to find out where this certain scripture is found. And we need to, you know, it's okay to ask questions. But you need to do the research first. Try to figure it out on your own at first. Go to God for yourself and ask Him. And if you still can't figure it out, then go ask the question. It's the mystery box. It's a wonderful box, but again, got to grow up and get out of it. The next one we talked about was the treasure box. And we all love the treasure box, because this is where we keep all the things that are precious to us. You know, the memories of our childhood. You know, maybe it's things that people have given us that are just dear to us. In our spiritual lives, the treasure box is where we keep, you know, the blessings of God. All the things that God has blessed us with. And God does want to bless us. He wants to give us life and life abundantly. And the treasure box is great, because there's times in our lives that we go through hard times. To where we think, you know, God, where are you at? God, what's going on? How come, you know, what's going on in my life? And why am I going through this? And we can go back to the treasure box and count our blessings. See how God has been faithful in the past to us, and knowing that He's going to be faithful in the future, because God is always there. He's never going to leave us. He's never going to forsake us. It's a great box. But if we stay too long, we begin to get greedy. We begin to covet. We begin to want things that aren't necessarily what God wants for us. We begin to treat God like a vending machine and say, okay, if we say this certain prayer this certain way, then God's going to do it. And that's not the way God works. See, God is not our vending machine. He's not at our beck and command. We cannot demand anything from God. Now, God has given us promises that we can stand on the Word of God, and He will always deliver on those, but we cannot demand God to do anything. The treasure box. The next one we talked about is the ballot box. And this is all about our choices. See, God has given us all free will. He's given us the right to choose whatever we want. We have the right to choose if we're going to follow Christ or if we're going to do our own thing, to follow our own will. And we have that choice that God has given us. And I believe God brings us to the ballot box many times in our lives when He asks us to do things. Or maybe He's asking you to change jobs. Maybe He's asking you to go witness to this person, or whatever it may be. And we go to the ballot box and we choose whether we're going to obey God or not. And we made this statement that we should never tell God no. Whenever God asks us to do something, we never say no. It should be our default answer, yes. As soon as He asks us, yes. Because if you're like me and you think about it for a little while, you find 100 reasons not to do it. It's easy to justify why not to obey God. Why this is going to cost me too much. And it's easy to vote no. But see, when God asks us to do something, our default answer should be yes immediately. Let's do it. But it's not always that way. God gives us the free will to choose. But we should always choose yes when He asks us. The last one we talked about is the moving box. The moving box. And it goes hand in hand with the ballot box. The moving box is where God tells you to go somewhere. Maybe to move to a different town, to a different state. You know, move to Africa or, you know, whatever. I mean, God doesn't call a lot of people to that, I don't guess, considering the percentages. But, you know, when God tells us to move, and this is all about obedience. See, the ballot box is about choices. The moving box is about obedience and action. See, it's great if we vote yes, but we still have to do it. We still got to put feet to our decision and actually go and do. And that's where a lot of people fall short. James said it like this. He said, faith without works is dead. It's great that you believe. It's great that you believe in Jesus. It's great to believe that he's your Lord and your Savior. But what are you going to do about it? See, like we said a while ago, that, you know, it's great that, you know, you have that salvation experience. You go to the cross and, you know, you confess your sins. You confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior. That's great. But how did that decision change your life? That is the question. If you made that decision and nothing changed, did you really make the decision? But it's when you make the decision and your life changes because of that. It's called the growth process. It's all about obedience to God in action. And so the last one that we're going to talk about, it's a little bit bigger, and so I couldn't like pull it up here on stage or anything. And so as soon as my guys are ready over there to bring out this other box. This is the last box that we're going to talk about. This is the casket. Now, for some of y'all, this brings up a wellspring of emotion because you've been here. You sat there when your best friend died in high school. Or maybe it was a grandparent, a great-grandparent, parent. Or maybe you've been here with a child. And there's a lot of emotion that goes with the casket. And see, the casket, it represents death. And there's, I mean, it's, and we know that death, as Christians, is not an end. But it's just a separation. But for a lot of people that don't know Christ, they see it as an end, that something ceased to exist. But we know that when we die, that we don't cease to exist, but we go on. Our body dies, it stays here. And our spirit and our soul are separated from our body. And as Christians, we get to go to heaven and be with Christ. And it's a great experience, and it's great for us who has people that has passed away that were Christians, knowing that we get to see them again. That one day when we go to heaven, they're going to be there waiting on us. And we're just temporarily separated from the people that's gone on. But the casket, it represents death. And, you know, we've all been to funeral and there's, you know, and we've lost loved ones. But see, as Christians, we need to see it as a celebration. Yeah, we're going to miss the person that died. But in truly, we're celebrating because they're in heaven now. They're with their Savior now. And we should celebrate that. And we should celebrate that knowing that we're going to see them again. And it should be a joyous time mixed in with the grief. Because we will miss them. There is a hole in our lives because this person is gone. But in reality, they're not gone at all. They're just waiting for us somewhere else. And spiritually, this box represents dying to ourselves. And see, this is the toughest box that we have to deal with. And I believe it's the last one that we come to. Because when you first get saved, you're not just going to immediately give up everything in your life and live for Christ perfectly. But it's a process to get to here, to the casket. Because you do have to learn to take care of yourself. You do have to, you know, go through the processes and growing. And eventually you come to a point to where you crawl into the casket. And you die to yourself. Let me read some scripture. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 is the first one I want to talk about. And this is a tough concept. It's not a tough concept, but It's a tough step to make. It's a tough box to get into because it represents sacrifice. It represents giving up the things that you hold dear to your life. And so Galatians chapter 2, Paul said it this way. He says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live now in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And this is kind of a confusing passage because he's saying, I've been crucified, and I live, but I don't live. He said, I'm alive, but it's not as if I'm living, but it's Christ living in me, living through me. And it's kind of a paradox to us. It's kind of hard to really grasp the concept of what that really means. Because, you know, Jesus isn't here on the earth anymore doing ministry like he did over 2,000 years ago. He's not here to go to preach the Sermon on the Mount anymore. He's not here anymore to go lay hands on the sick. But he is here doing that through us. See, it's our job to do the work that Christ did while he was here. He was our example of how to live, on what to do. Now, we all can't just walk around in our robes and our sandals, you know, telling people to follow you and walk around and preaching. That's not our society today. That's not the way that we can live our lives. But like I said earlier, when you go to work, you should be Christ to your work. When you're at home, you should be Christ to your kids and to your spouse. And it's Christ living through us. Still doing what he did 2,000 years ago, but he's doing it through us. But we have to crawl into the casket. We have to allow him to do it. We have to make the choice at the ballot box. We have to get into the moving box and maybe go somewhere. But eventually we crawl into the casket. Die to ourselves. Be crucified with Christ. And let him live through us. It's a tough concept. But Jesus said it this way. Excuse me. In Matthew 16, let's read that real quick. Matthew 16, verse 24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny himself, take up their cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will find it. For what good will it be for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit his own soul? And this is where it gets tough. It's tough to sacrifice. It's tough to give things up that you enjoy to follow Christ. But the reward is so much greater than what we could ever imagine. See, the life that God has for us, when we're truly living out God's will for our lives, is so much better than what we could ever produce for ourselves. We cannot work hard enough. We cannot buy enough stuff. We cannot do enough stuff to even get close to the life that God has for us if we just crawl into the casket and die to ourselves. But let me kind of break this scripture down a little bit, though. And, you know, the first thing I want to say is, you know, he tells us to take up our cross. And so many people misinterpret this. And they want to put it on something bad that's going on in their lives. Or, you know, they're saying, well, this is my cross that I have to bear. And they use this scripture as reference to that. But that's not what this is talking about. Because, you know, they're referencing something maybe God put in their life that's maybe, you know, harmful to them, or maybe that slows them down, or maybe they think of it as an illness or something, that, you know, this is just my cross that I have to bear. And they begin to play the martyr. They begin to play the victim with God, saying, well, God put this on me, and so I guess I'm just going to have to deal with it. And that's not what this is talking about. See, what he's actually talking about right here when he says, take up your cross, he's actually telling us to make a stand for what we believe in. That's what it means to take up your cross. See, he tells us first to deny ourselves, which is very tough to do. So, I mean, it's hard to get that concept at first to, you know, deny myself. What does that mean? You know, deny my flesh, deny... I don't get that. It's hard to understand, but to deny basically means to forget oneself, to lose sight of self and your own interests. Basically, he's saying that we need to give up our own agenda for our lives. See, when I first decided to go to college, I had this great life laid out for me. Man, I had it all planned out. Y'all know what I'm talking about? You have your life planned out at the age of 18. You got it all figured out. You know what you're doing. You know what's going to happen. And I had this great life. I had my own agenda of what I wanted to do with my life. But God stepped in and disrupted that at the age of 20. He said, you know, that's great that, you know, you want to be a businessman, own your business, make lots of money. That's great. But I've called you to something better. And he called me into the ministry. And I fought it. I did not want to do it. I saw my dad, what he went through with pastoring a church. You know, the tough times that he went through, the times that people stabbed him in the back. All the tough things that you go through. I saw that and I didn't want to be a part of it. See, God's calling is bigger than anything I want. And that's where we need to get to where we know that God knows best in our lives. That His callings and what He wants us to do is so much better. And we need to forget our own agenda, deny ourselves, and go on. He tells us to take up our cross or to make a stand for what you believe in. Or to stand by your word is another way that's translated. Because we gave God our word when we made Him Lord and Savior of our lives. We said, God, you have control of my life. Are you going to stand by your word and let Him be in control of your life? See, this isn't the fun sermon to preach. This is not the, you know, the feel goods, you know. This is where the rubber meets the road. This is where we truly look into our lives and say, am I really allowing God to be Lord in my life? Am I really obeying Him? Am I really living it out? And it's not one of a condemnation or anything like that, but it's a self-examination time. It's a growth moment that God is bringing to you. So basically what Jesus is saying, he says, forget your own agenda. Take a stand for what you believe in and follow me. And that's what it means to get in the casket. To get into this box and grow. Because you have to grow through that process. There's no way you can't. Verse 26 says, for what good will it be for someone to gain the whole world and forfeit his own soul? When we choose our own way, that's what we're doing. We think we're gaining the whole world. We're gaining everything that we ever wanted in life. Yet we're forfeiting our very being on who we are and not living it out for Christ. John chapter 12. Jesus says something else here that's really interesting. I'm going to read this out of the message. John chapter 12, verse 24, he says, listen carefully. Unless a grain of wheat is buried in the ground, dead to the world, it is never any more than a grain of wheat. But if it is buried, it sprouts and reproduces itself many times over. In the same way, anyone who holds on to the life just as it is destroys that life. But if you let it go, reckless with your love, you'll have it forever, real and eternal. It's the same concept he's talking about. That we must get in the casket and die to ourselves. Because we weren't intended to live for ourselves. God didn't make us for us to live for me, for self. God's intention for us was to live for Him and other people. See, this is what our servolution is all about right here. See, sometimes we have to sacrifice our own agendas and what we want to do on a Saturday when He wants us to go build picnic tables for some shooting range somewhere. Are you willing to give up your own personal time for you to rest, for you to take a break, for you to spend with your family, to die? It says that the wheat has to be buried and dies in the ground before it can reproduce, before it sprouts, before it begins to grow. And I love how it says this. It said it sprouts and it reproduces itself many times over. And see, that's the kingdom of God right there. Because we are not made for self. We are made to invest in other people. We are made to spread God's love to other people. And other people begin to see that light and they accept Jesus and they have life. And in turn, they go out and they affect their family and their friends and the people around them. And there's life being grown through that. And through them, they begin to do the same thing. It's called being a disciple. It's the original pyramid scheme. See, in business, pyramid scheme's bad, but it's the kingdom of God. Because if you look what Jesus did, one man, He recruited 12 guys and He poured His life into those 12 men. He commissioned them to go preach the gospel, heal the sick. And what did they do? They went out. They started churches. They began to do the work of the ministry. And they got disciples. And they trained them up to do the same thing. And they went out. And they did the same thing. See, the church started with one man, Jesus Christ. And it's grown into what it is today. Because people were dying to self, reproducing themselves in other people, and commissioning them to go. And that's what the church should be about. The church is not for you to come, sit here, listen to some great worship music, hear a good sermon, and go home. But it's a training ground for you to come, get equipped for what God has called you to do, and to go and do. And then when you go and do, you begin to reproduce in other people's lives. Commission them to go. See, the church is just a training ground. It's a place to come get refreshed, to get revived, to get trained up, and then to go and do what God's called you to do. See, when we see it all from the right perspective, it makes sense. But are we willing to get in the casket and do it? Are we willing to die to ourselves? See, the casket is a whole different mindset from what we're used to living. Because in the world, it tells us to go to school, get an education, go out and get a good job, take care of ourselves, take care of our family, you know, make a good living and a life for yourself. And it's all about self. But the kingdom of God is all about everybody else. This is not easy stuff to hear. It's not easy stuff to jump on board with. See, multiplying ourselves is what it's all about. Investing in other people. Pouring into other people what God has poured into you. That's what the kingdom of God is about. Now, there is one negative side to the casket. Like we said at the beginning, every box has a good side and a negative side. See, when you go to a funeral, what is one thing that people say to the family? They say, "I'm sorry for your loss. I'm sorry that you lost your family member." See, one negative to the casket is sometimes we get into the "I'm sorry for my loss" mindset. To where, you know, we've been in the casket for a while and we've given up things. We've sacrificed for God. And we get to a place that we've done it so long that we begin to regret a little bit that we gave that up. And we become sorry for our own losses. And then we think, well, I can just do this one time and it's okay. It's not going to affect anything. And then we go back. And we take back what we've given up for God. And we indulge ourselves once and think, okay, I'm done with it. I'm not going to do that. But once we do that, we begin to be drawn more and more that way. And we begin to get that selfish mindset back in us again. And then we find ourselves back in the boat to where we get outside of the casket. And we start living for self again. And we have to be careful that we're not sorry for what we've given up for God. Let me read this one last scripture to you. It's Philippians chapter 3. This is Paul talking. And I mean, I've always been a big fan of Paul because of what he did, what he gave up in his life. Because, you know, growing up, he had the best education that a Jew could get. I mean, he had the best education. He was going down the right road. He was, you know, living the life that every Jew dreamed of. Then one day, God interrupted his life on the road to Damascus. A light as bright as the sun, brighter than the sun, knocked him off his donkey. He said, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Why are you fighting against me?" And he changed his life. He gave his life to Christ, and he was full bore for Jesus. And listen to what he said in Philippians chapter 3, verse 8. He says, "Yes, all the things that I thought were once so important are gone from my life, compared to the high privilege of knowing Christ Jesus as my master firsthand. Everything I once thought that I had going for me is now insignificant. It is dog dung. I've dumped it all in the trash so that I can embrace Christ and be embraced by Him. I didn't want some petty, inferior brand of righteousness that comes from keeping a list of rules when I could get a robust kind that comes from trusting Christ, God's righteousness. I gave up all of that inferior stuff so I can know Christ personally, experience His resurrection power, and be a partner in His suffering and go all of the way with Him to death itself." Now that's someone who's in the casket. That's someone who doesn't care about his own life, but he cares about the calling of God on his life, doing that no matter what it costs. And if you continue to read some of the stuff that he wrote, he went through a lot of trouble in his life. He was stoned, no telling how many times, with rocks, not drugs, stoned. He was shipwrecked. He was left for dead. I mean, all kinds of stuff happened to Paul. You know what he said? He said, "It's all worth it. Just so I can have that personal relationship with God. The real kind. The kind that changes your life. The kind that makes you want to just give up everything just so I can have God. Just so I can have Christ in my life." And that's what the casket is about. Are we willing to die to ourselves, to give up our own agendas, to make a stand for the commitment that we made to God when we got saved and follow after Him? That's what the casket is all about. Prayer team, if you go ahead and come this way. I'm not saying I live in this box constantly in my life. I wish I could say that I did. I wish I could say I lived it perfectly, but none of us do. And it's an ever work in progress. See, we didn't do this to put guilt on you, but we did it to inspire you, to give you hope, to encourage you, to live your life for Christ and see the importance of it. Because we put a high importance on our job. We put a high importance on our family. You know, we do our best not to be late for work, for our doctor's appointment. But when we're late for church, it's no big deal, right? Where's our priorities? Is it important to us that we live for God? Or is it just some kind of side thing that we like to do that makes us feel good? See, when we truly want to live for Christ, that's number one priority. When you go to teacher life group, are you ready? Are you prepared? When you go and serve in the nursery? Do you give it your all? Or are you just there to babysit? See, that's what we're talking about. It's not an easy life to live, but the reward is well worth it. Father, thank you so much for everything you've done for us, for the sacrifice that Jesus made. God, that you have offered us this free gift of salvation, this free gift of life. God, I just thank you, God, that you have poured into us, God, that you have invested in us. God, I just pray that you just help us to look into our lives, into our hearts, and to see where our obedience runs short, to where that we're holding on to things selfishly because it makes us feel good when you want it gone out of our lives. Father, I just pray that we just get to the point to where we're willing to give up anything and everything for you if you ask. God, I just thank you that you're just drawing people's hearts to you right now. God, that you're just pouring grace and love into each and every one of us. I just pray for anybody here today that's not accepted you as Lord and Savior. They've not made that step, that commitment to you to say that you're my Lord, you're my Master, you're in control of my life. God, that you're just drawing them right now. You're just showing them the benefit to them. God, and at the same time, the sacrifice that it takes. Father, we love you for everything you do for us. In Jesus' name. If you need prayer for any reason, if you need to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you need to rededicate your life, if you feel like maybe you're ready to die to yourself and you want to make a commitment with somebody else face to face, just go ahead and come on up here. Pray with one of these guys. They're ready for you.